enough to tempt your palate, and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Executive Chef Fred Genovese and his guests will cook and saute. They share their food and they share their recipes. Kevin Jenkins, he's a fat man jumping in on the pots and pans. So don't touch that dial if you please. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Yeah, getting
better. Oh, man, Chef Fred.
One bite?
No.
Cauliflower.
It's raw and I can eat good. It raw, but if it's got a good ranch dressing over it. But anyway, my friends, we are back here at Bojanic Indian Restaurant. Chef Archna and her father, Executive Chef Surrender Malhotte. Because if you met Archie, you know why Hottie is appropriate. I can't pronounce her regular name. So Hottie is just as good. Chef Archna, we already have the curry. It's bubbling away. Your father was very complimentary, by the way, and he said, you got it. And then you start to add more salt, and he said?
No.
There you go.
And how much salt did you add?
Oh.
No, after he said no.
I didn't. I added chili.
Look, here comes the plate.
Oh, he's coming to get some chicken. Yay.
Now, we started the curry. Then you started the potato cauliflower dish that, like I said, half delicious.
He's eating it too, look.
Yeah, well, look at that. It looks like he's celebrating National Corn Chip Day. No, I'm sure it's not. But anyway, today is National Corn Chip Day, so I would suggest everyone go out and get a sack of Doritos. Get your favorite...
Are those made with corn?
Your favorite salsa.
Probably not.
Ice cold Bud Light. Sit down and enjoy National Chip Day. No?
A nice cold Bud Light?
Well, we need some margarita to go with the chip day.
Well, there you go. Margarita. Leave it to
Chef.
Are
you from the Mexican Council?
No, because I pronounce it Bojanic, not Bohanic.
Bohanic.
See, I pronounce it Bohanic, and you reminded me Spaniards don't pronounce the J. Indians do.
Yes.
But anyway, now, you've got the potato cauliflower cooking away. Once again, you keep reminding us, you're not adding any water to this, but yet the natural water coming off the potatoes and the cauliflower.
You're using the steam to release the water, and that's going to keep it moist and not burning. But again, if you had a flat bottom pan, it would burn. It's only not burning because I stir it occasionally, and it's a small surface.
And I'm glad you didn't make a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to make
you. I'll pick the potatoes
out. We're going to make you try it.
But
so.
Now let's talk a little
I like
bit.
That.
Now, would you serve that just traditional like a side dish? You just toss it on the side?
It's like a meat and two. Like you do like what my dad just was eating, chicken curry. Our platters here, we do like a meat and two, which is a traditional. Meat and two is not a traditional Indian, but a thali, which is a silver platter where rice, bread, you know, you pick your meat and two vegetables. And instead of, this is why I don't like buffets. This way you can choose what you want on your plate. Instead of everybody touching nasty hands all over the food and they're coughing, you order what you want. They bring it to you, and it's basically your own little buffet.
Okay.
You so get a little bit of everything.
It's kind of like a tapas.
On a big platter, yep. And you
get
to choose. It's not preset. You get to choose your meat, your vegetables.
That's really nice. And no wonder they are picked the number one Indian restaurant in Atlanta for, gosh, I don't know how many years you've been open, just about. Because you all really do stick to the traditional street foods. Now, it's not, and you know, my friends, when we say traditional street foods, we're not telling you that it's going to be exactly like walking down a street in Punjab and going up to one of the big steel drums that are clay lined. But it's because the taste, their tastes are slightly different than your taste may be. But the thing is, you truly stick as close to traditional, yet make it so that multitudinous groups can come in here and find
and
a taste.
And honestly, I would say, we don't really change anything about. This is exactly how my grandmother cooked in our house, their house. And I think it's really the restaurants that have made the food. I think when England brought Indian food over, I think they wanted to be extreme about it because their food is so boring.
Very much so.
It's
changing
it's
now.
Because
just
of Indian
like the
food.
Irish.
But
yes.
In Irish and Indian and English food is kind of bland, right?
Yes,
it's potatoes
is.
And meat, and in my opinion, it's boring. I don't know other people. But when they went to India, they got all the spices. They brought them back. And when they had Indian food there, they got so addicted to it. Then it became almost like a competition, in my opinion, like who can eat it hotter? That's not a traditional Indian thing. You don't have these competitions and stars like Thai food in Indian restaurants. You know, certain food in India, South Indian food, is very spicy. We're from North India. It's not very spicy. It's flavorful, not so hot that it burns you. And that's why we really haven't changed. People like our food because it's just the it's flavorful but not extremely hot. And then there's people who come here and say it's not spicy enough because they're used to that extreme sport, which really isn't Indian food.
England or Southern.
But, I mean, some people think this is too spicy, so it's hard to find a balance. But there's people who just want to burn themselves, and they want to prove that they can eat something so spicy and get through it. That's not the purpose of Indian food, though.
Right. Well, and I don't think
it's
that's
about
the purpose
flavors,
of any food.
It's about, you know, having the different layers hit your tongue and not being burnt by it.
You know, we're getting ready to go back down to New Orleans for one of our four annual journeys down there. And to start this year, we're going down for Mardi Gras, of course. And one of the biggest misperceptions that people have of Cajun food. In fact, when you eat Cajun food up here in Atlanta, a restaurant calls itself Cajun, and a lot of them by the degree of how much cayenne they can put in every dish. Whereas we've had the honor to cook with Paul Prudhomme and John Besh and some of the great Cajun chefs. And I think Paul Prudhomme inarguably is the greatest Cajun chef of all time. But he would tell you, and if you read his cookbooks and you listen to him, it's not about heat. It's about the complexity of the flavors. When you make a let's just say something as simple as a jambalaya in Paul Prudhomme's, you're going to have about 30 items that go into it, and 10 of them are going to be spices and herbs. Because, and not a lot of cayenne, Chef Fred.
Right.
That's why when I go into these Cajun restaurants, equating it to the United States, I've eaten these places where they say Cajun chicken, and it burns. We actually went to a restaurant down on St. Simon's Island where I got the Cajun platter. It blistered the inside of my mouth, and I told the manager this was not right. This was before we were doing restaurant reviews and had the show. I said, this isn't right. He said, that's Cajun. I'm from Louisiana. I know. And I said, you're an idiot. You have no clue what you're talking
about. That's exactly
about.
It.
And I wanted my money back. Not only wouldn't they give you your money back, but they gave me a bowl of ice cream and said, here, soothe the blisters. Yeah.
But that's just like trying to prove it's all about like a competition. And you know, some people will go to Thai restaurants and say, I want Thai spicy. And
yeah.
And that probably have different levels in Thai because they use a lot of chilies. Indian food's all about layering, caramelization, and even Thai curries are the same way. You can have it spicy, but the flavor should be still layered.
Right.
And it shouldn't just be heat.
And I think if you get heat, you lose flavor, Chef Ray.
When you blister your mouth or you get so hot, nothing tastes good anymore. You're eating because you have to eat, but it doesn't taste
it's
good.
It's also easy to make things spicy. It's very hard to make things taste good. And if you don't know how, you just put a ton of oil and a lot of chilies in something and call it Indian food. That doesn't make it Indian food.
Well, if you want really tasty, perfect amount of spices, and if you want to kick it up, they can actually kick it up where it's appropriate. We're talking about Bojanic Indian Restaurant. It's at 1363 Claremont Road in Decatur, Georgia. And it is incredible place. Very clean. The first thing I noticed, bright, clean, really sharp-looking restaurant. And I got to tell you, in some of the Indian restaurants I've been in, it tends
not
to be
so much
darker. And
burgundy?
And, yeah. Just a ton of burgundy.
Elephants?
Yes. Ton of dark woods. This is like the total opposite. I mean, this is airy and light and modernistic, and they've got great track lighting in here. I mean, it's really, really a great restaurant where you can actually get the authentic street food taste, even if you can tolerate cauliflower. I imagine there will be people here that many people probably actually like it.
It's our top dish.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, you know, we're looking, and I don't even know, I lost track of how many spices and such, going back to that she's got out here. But just watching and the flavor profiles. Now, how much do the dishes change, excuse me, between you and your dad?
A lot. I mean, when he cooks and I cook, when everybody cooks, you can have the same recipe, and one person cooks it, it's different, because it's not baking. You're not measuring each item, because we'd be here all day if we tried to measure. You'd definitely screw it up then. You'd be like, teaspoon, tablespoon, teaspoon. And people would get more confused trying to measure than visualize. And our way is exactly the same recipe, but a little bit different. The end product.
Exactly. I mean,
but
that's what recipes are about, actually. It's kind of
making it
kind
your
of an
own
outline.
Yep.
Kind of an outline, and it just changes from one to one.
But he liked my curry. His might be a little different. And you can make it with tomato. We did it with yogurt.
Sure. Right.
We forgot to tell you, we put plain yogurt in the curry at the very end to make it smooth. But you could do coconut milk. You could do half and half. There's lots of ways to finish a curry, which will change the profile.
let's talk real quick about the catering aspect. How few do you cater for?
10 to 10,000. 13,000 is the most we've ever catered for. It's 13,000.
That's it a few people.
It was Microsoft Convention at the outdoor, what do they have? Centennial Park. We didn't do all the food. We did like two stations worth of food, and they had like 10 stations. It took us a month to get that thing figured out.
Wow.
We were cooking every day for a month.
Now, is there a difference in generational cooking in India and in your particular region, or just across the country as a whole in the many states? Do you find that one generation prefers it one way and the newer generation has adapted it and changed it?
I see generational, but mostly I really see fusion, because since so many different people have ruled India over time, there's English influence, there's Persian influence. So you see more of using fusion stuff. So there's a lot of Indo-Chinese. Right. Like we do a dish called chicken Manchurian and chili, you know, chili chicken. Those are fusion of Indian and Chinese. So I see that more generationally than even differences.
Well, my friends, one thing that will not differ is everyone at the table will agree that if you come to Bojanic Indian Restaurant, you will get a true taste of Indian street food from the northern region of Punjab in northern India. You will get the slightly less spicy than in their southern brothers and sisters, but you will get a lot more breads, bread-like things. You will get more curry, a goat, more meats, and more seafood in the south. We're learning like you're learning. When we come back, Chef Arch is going to teach you things you probably didn't even know about rice. Is there a difference? I asked Uncle Ben's. He told me no. Archna is going to tell me different. Chef and a Fat Man taking it to the streets of Punjab. Oh, man. Listen to this, my friends. Oh, that is not the sound of the Papa Pepper's kneecaps grinding. No, no, no. That is the sound of a pot of oil with just a little bit of oil. And Chef Archna of Bojanic Indian Restaurant, tell us, what are you putting in there?
I put cumin seed again. You could see that's a common thread between all recipes. And then I put in some onions. And I already fried them, so we could do it a little faster, but you could do just sliced onion. And we're going to make the eggplant dip, the side dish, or you can serve it as a dip as well. And this one, we're going to do cumin seed, the oil, cumin seed, onion. Then I'm going to add some tomatoes.
Diced tomatoes.
And I'm going to add some puree because tomatoes aren't looking so hot right now.
Yeah, they are kind of rough.
So in the summer, if you make this, you can do it all with tomatoes because they're nice and sweet,
juicy,
and charred.
Yeah.
I'll put that for texture, and then I'm going to put some tomato puree.
Now, don't tell me you make your own puree.
No. We use way too much of it. We use like hundreds of pounds a week.
I can see Archna back there.
And the reason we use puree is because it's consistent all year round. It's hard to get tomatoes. I mean, you should have seen the tomatoes we got last month. They're just almost green,
half the size,
yellow.
And not even
good. Just ugly, yeah. So we do this, and again, now we just wait. We caramelize it. And you need it's really good not to use nonstick pans when you're cooking Indian food. The whole purpose is to scrape that.
To get that fond off the bottom, whereas if you nonstick,
you're going to ruin your pan, yeah. And so we cook this down, and when it's all melted together and it's got this awesome golden color and, you know, it's all one thing rather than separate tomato and onion. It looks like one thing. That's the thing about Indian food. You want it to look like a thing. Like when you're making grilled salmon or grilled chicken, you're making chicken.
Right.
And you're accenting a little salt and pepper, maybe some lemon juice.
Well, we use Chef and a Fat Man Zesty Love Rub. That's our preference on our chicken.
Exactly. Like, but the natural flavor will come out when you're grilling.
Right.
But when you're cooking something for a long time, it's the end product, which is its own thing. It's really not chicken anymore.
Grow into itself.
It's one own thing, yeah. So that's the difference, really. That's why you have to have a little more salt when you're making Indian food, because there's a lot of spices. And if you don't have the background of the salt, you can't get the flavor out.
And more time.
Under-seasoned stuff won't be good, yeah.
Now, we had talked about rice, especially with your curry. You know, rice is a fundamental part of the cuisine of India, whether it's north or south, any state, any region, rice. Now, you, at Taste of Atlanta, where we first met Chef Archna, you were telling an interesting story about rice. I did not realize. See, Uncle Ben and I have been friends together for a long time, and now that he's made it easier for me, as she takes another hit off of her 420 water. Yeah, well, it's water version of. But I noticed, you know, this is very... She brought two beers over, one for the chef, of course. And
somebody said, oh, it's too early or something.
Well,
not in her world.
Yeah.
In India, it's 9 o'clock at night.
There you go. She's got back.
She drank the 420 and gave the Papa Peppers the Indian beer. And then we learned something. Indian beer is almost, is 100% lagers.
Lagers.
Well, I think it's the difference in the fermentation, honestly. And the fact is that those spicy dishes like that really, you know, are less drinkable than with a Belgian, with a heavy-handed Belgian with a lot of hops in it. I see that, you know. I would guess that if you were doing a wine pairing with Indian food, a generalized wine pairing, it would be a Riesling.
Riesling, Gewurztraminer, Pinot Grigio,
right.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Right.
Anything that doesn't fight with the food, you know.
Sure.
Pinot Noir.
A little fruit forward.
Yeah, just not sweet.
Right, not a Zinfandel. Too much spice.
Yeah.
Malbec, not too much.
Red Zin's good with it, but it doesn't bring out anything with anything.
They kind of battle each other.
I haven't had anyone recommend ABC. I'm anything but Chardonnay person, and I just don't like that.
And Chardonnay is so hard to pair with anything it's so strong, especially the oaky ones. It's just too much. I used to love Chardonnays. I can't even drink them now.
Yeah.
It gets on my nerves.
It really looks good.
So back to rice.
So rice. The rice, the deal with rice. Basmati rice is what we eat in India. It's only grown in one part of India, which is Punjab. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what. You are the World Trade Council for Punjab.
But the thing is, even though it's grown there, we don't really eat that much of it in the north, which is very interesting to me. Because
Why? They
do eat it in biryanis and stuff, but it's not an everyday thing. Like in south or east or west where they eat rice all the time. We eat it maybe once a week.
Because you have bread to supplement.
We use a lot of bread, which is interesting. But it's grown only in the northern part of India. And the actual basmati rice, it depends on how... And I'm not an expert on all rice, but I've learned about basmati that the older the grain, the longer the grain... And you can get basmati rice that's 50 cents a pound, and you can get basmati rice that's $1.75 a pound.
Now, you pronounce it basmati?
Basmati.
Basmati.
How do you pronounce it?
Well, of course, basmati? I pronounce it with a
basmati.
True...
Basmati.
Yeah, basmati. That's right, basmati. Baby. I'm from Chicago. We pronounce everything Chicagoan, you know. Basmati.
The Mott's. Oh, did you hear about the guys who got...
That was family. Be quiet.
Oh, gosh. You're not Italian.
Yes, he is. Look at his last...
Genovese? Crime family?
Oh, yeah. Was it your family?
His uncle was Vito Genovese, and they called it the Rolls Royce of the Italian mob.
Is he in jail?
No, Uncle Vito passed away.
Slipped on the old dirt overcoat a few years ago. But
he passed away in jail. But some of the Colombo guys, I was like, oh, yeah, they have a big buzz.
There it is, right?
And everybody's like, the mob still exists? We just kind of lay low.
Layla. You just let the terrorists do their work.
127 of them. 127 of them are laying lower than they were before. But anyway, now we won't get into the Indian mob because I don't think that's
no, excessive. I don't think we should do that.
But anyway, so you were talking about the basmati rice.
Yep, so you don't want basmati rice from Illinois or Pennsylvania. They do make, they tried it. They tried to bring basmati rice to the States. It was about 10, 15 years ago. It never became right because the soil that's in North India, it's generations
perfect.
Old. You can't get it. So I think they've stopped actually doing that. They now just import a bunch of it. And the longer it is, the better it is. And then you always want to soak it, wash it a little bit, get the starch out. Because we're not trying to make sticky rice.
Right.
We're trying to make like a pasta rice that's separate and loose and fluffy. And so always little less than double the water. Soak it before. Wash out the starch. And don't buy it
how
from
long
Pennsylvania.
Do you soak? How long do you soak your rice before
15
you
15 minutes. And when you soak it, it cooks faster. So it's better to soak that while you're working on other stuff. Then it cooks faster, less water.
Now, when you obviously you drain it.
Yep, drain it completely.
And then you rinse it after you drain it?
No, it's fine because you rinsed it ahead of time. And you don't want to be too hard-handed with it because it will break the rice. And then what you do is you do it just like the chicken curry. A little oil. Then you do the whole seeds. Cardamom, cinnamon, cloves, cumin, bay leaf if you want, whole peppercorns if you want. Cook it for 1 second. You can thinly slice onion, translucent it, not caramelize this time, because you don't want the rice to be brown. You want it to be white. So just translucent, and it's caramelized. And then you add the water. So you flavor the water with that stuff. And then when that comes to boil, you add your strained rice and some salt. And then bring it back to boil. When it comes back to boil, cover it, turn it way down. And in about 15 minutes, all the water will be absorbed, and you'll have Indian rice. It's very easy.
Wow. Yes, it is. Sounds very flavorful, too.
You just need the spices. Yeah.
It's not as fast as my Uncle Ben's in the bag, but, you know.
I'm cross-contaminating these, but I don't usually do that.
I see that your potato and cauliflower.
Look at
it. Is really starting to soften up nicely. Now, yep. Do you want to keep it al dente, or do you want to get it to mush?
That's a personal preference.
How do you prefer it?
I like it to where it's cooked all the way, but not soggy, you know? But enough cooked where when you take it with a piece of bread, it's not hard. Like, it should be softer than knife tender, in my opinion.
So right before mush.
Right before mush.
Well, you know,
that's such
now,
a good word.
Technical term.
Now, one thing that we talked about before we started the show today, I have a very good friend of ours. He was in my wedding, and he actually lived with us for the first year that we were together. He was from Bangladesh, and he would get to the point of irate if someone called him Indian.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to explain. So he invited me to the Feast of Ramadan. He was obviously from the Muslim side of the multiple religions that are in India. He was from the Muslim side, so they were celebrating the Feast of Ramadan, and they had goat curry, and they took tomatoes and onions and cilantro and lime, and they mix it all up in a bowl, and they put a bowl of that down, the rice, the curry over the top, no silverware. And I was like, okay. They said, well, you can begin to eat now. I said, well, where's the silverware? And they looked at me and said, oh, that's right, we forgot. You're not one of us. And I said, what do you mean?
You're not one of us.
You're not one of us. I said, well, what do you mean? They said, we don't use a knife or fork. We use our hands. And they had a very unique way of taking the rice and mixing it with the curry, and they roll it into a ball. And they literally eat it with their hands.
Lick it off.
And I thought that was something that was street food India typical, but not.
I think it's just more of, again, regional. When you've got a lot of South Indians, like traditional South Indian families, when they eat rice, they eat it like that. A lot of Bengal, like that. Wherever there's a rice culture. And I don't know. I bet if we went in history just to see how that got started, probably be the working class people who didn't have money. Stainless steel is very expensive in India. Even, you know, it comes from there, but it's a higher price thing. And plastics just were invented.
Yes.
So really,
it was a natural way.
I'm sure that's how it got started, and it's just stuck.
It was intriguing, and it was fun to eat that way, but they didn't serve a lot of napkins either. And so I said, well, how do you clean your hands? And they said, the old-fashioned way.
Oh,
you lick your fingers.
Disgusting.
And I'll tell you what, it was fun to do. And when I cook curry at home, when I used to do it quite often, I would actually do it. I would only eat it the Bengali way, because that's the way I was taught when I learned the cuisine and got the recipe. But one thing, whether you use your hands or whether you use silverware, the absolute truism about Indian food is, if it's done right, whether it's Bengali, whether it's Punjabi, whatever it is, it's flavorful, it's exciting, it has flavors and profiles, the likes of which you probably never have unless you eat their food. It's just true excitement. And if you want that same true excitement, if you want to feel what it would be like to eat on the streets of Punjab, all you need to do is come to Bojanic Indian Restaurant, 1363 Claremont Road, in beautiful, did I say beautiful?
Beautiful.
Decatur, Georgia, my friends. Inside the perimeter for you snobs. Chef and a Fat Man taking it to the streets of Punjab. Oh, my friends, you must come to Punjab next time you're in Decatur. How do you do that? Well, you come to Bojanic Indian Restaurant. It's very, very easy. It's on 1363 Claremont. And you know what's great about this, Chef Fred? You know, some people, you know, Executive Chef Surrender, which is Chef Archana's dad.
Yes.
He said that one of the great things about Indian food is, as people learn that it's not hot.
Right.
And it's not greasy, that it's a beautiful blend of fresh herbs and spices and textures and a little heat, that people around the world would fall in love with it if they gave it a shot. So he said the difference between him and his daughter is he's kind of like the one who has the ideas and the recipes. She's the one that takes the recipes, but she's also the one that brings the Bojanic to the world. In fact, she got tired of just doing ordinary shopping. That's not good enough for Chef Archinen. No, no, no. Can't have just ordinary. She's actually opened her own market.
Really?
Tell us about that. So, in other words, you can eat here, go get the ingredients next door, and go home and make it yourself.
Yep. It's my little baby that we started a year ago, and it's so awesome because we get to make things that we can't feature everything we want to have at the restaurant because everybody likes what they like, and you can't change the menu all of a sudden after 7 and 8 years and start putting new stuff. So we have the market where we make homemade pickles, chutneys, snacks, and a lot of things we make here. We sell it for people to take home quick. It's cold, refrigerated, or frozen, but only frozen for a week because we replace it every week, or twice a week sometimes. So it's only frozen for convenience to take it home frozen, but it's not coming from some factory that it's frozen right. for I don't know how long. No preservatives. It's the same food we cook here, just
nice.
Frozen ready or ready to go. And then we just this month I'm starting mail order for, you know how they sell turkeys and hams for Christmas? We're doing an Indian meal for four, and we're going to ship it anywhere in the country.
What?
It's going to come with chicken, two side dishes, rice, and bread, and it's just going to ship to anywhere in the country. And that's
wow. Very cool.
And so we're going to do that.
That's pretty good. Let's try that again.
Wow.
Very nice.
And then that, besides that, we can ship anything cold, frozen with dry ice, or we can send, we have tons of shelf-steady stuff like Indian chai masala or any of the whole spices that people can't find in some place, you know, if they live in a smaller city.
And you can order them and
just call, and you can, right now, they can just call the main number, but it'll be off the website soon. That's going to start.
Give the website.
The website is www.bhojanic.com, and that's our main site. And right on that page, you'll see Bojan Market, which you can just, it'll take you
so
right to that site.
You'll be able to order, like, cinnamon and all
you
that
You can
stuff?
Order any spice, and you can do that right away. You can start ordering right away, but it'll end up being on the site this quarter, next month or so, where you can just order it online. But right now, you just have to call the regular number.
Now, have you ever thought, since you've got almost the whole complex here, the whole strip mall is almost yours.
Right.
And I'm sure the landlord is very appreciative.
Yeah, he is. I wish I could buy the spot.
Now, let me ask you, have you ever considered opening your own grocery? Would that be a next step for you?
I really want to sell stuff like, I want to have restaurants all over the country and have maybe markets all over the country. So I figured mail order would be a good way to get the word out nationally. And then I want to have a restaurant in Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Nice.
Now, I wonder why. Got to go out and check it.
every quarter.
Yeah. While they're in the wintertime.
Yeah. And Maui, Hawaii, because there's no Indian restaurants there.
Go figure.
And in San Francisco and New York. So they're lacking. And maybe
so
in
India.
So for
those of you, we have listeners in every one of those states and all over the world. So if you want to open one, just call Chef Archinen.
Looking for partners.
That's right. She'll work it out with you. But speaking of working out, let's work out this eggplant. It's been a while since we talked about it. Let's start from the very beginning.
Okay.
Tell us what you're doing.
So you take the regular big eggplant, the purple eggplant, not the smaller or the skinny, but the regular one. You take it and you put little holes all around it, put a little oil, rub the skin with the oil. You grill it. The best way to do it is grill it on a char, you know, like with
on a big green egg, my friends.
Exactly.
The best way to cook anything when you're grilling is on the big green egg because it is
the ultimate cooking vessel.
And then you put, you grill it all the way till it completely, like, gets mushed down because it's cooked.
You're learning our jargon. You're picking it
mushed down. And you'll see that the skin will be completely charred and it'll be very soft. You don't want any firmness. You put a knife in, it should just be soft. And you take it off, cool it down. You take all the skin and everything off, mash it again, and mush it down and make a little pulp of it. Then you start with a pan, same kind of pan, and you put a little oil on the bottom of the pan. And you add cumin seed. You always wait till the oil's a little hot because otherwise the seeds are kind of just sitting there. You want them to release flavor and pop and sizzle. And so you put cumin seed in. Then you add some onion, sliced onion. You caramelize it. You could use chopped or sliced. Then you add your tomatoes, chopped or sliced. If they don't look so hot today, you can do tomato puree. And cook that and caramelize until it's all blended together. Then you add your mushed up eggplant, and you put your dry spices, which is going to be almost the same as before. Coriander ground.
A bunch.
A bunch. Turmeric.
Half a bunch.
Half a bunch. Cayenne, quarter of the bunch. Salt, the season. And then you just kind of mix it together and let it cook together. And now you're trying to mix the flavor of the spices with the eggplant.
Now, unlike the curry where you wait till the oil floats on the top, how can you know when this is done? Is this just a kind of sort of 15, 10, 15? What?
Well, this one, since the eggplant's already cooked, you're adding green peas at the end, which are also pretty much cooked.
Optional, my friends. Green peas are optional.
It's really for color you do it for, because it's kind of one color. So when you add the green peas, it gives a little sweetness and color. But really, this dish is pretty much done because the eggplant was already cooked. The onion was already, everything's
cooked. Hot, cold?
Serve it hot. You can make wraps with it, like cold wrap sandwiches.
You can almost make that like your schmear for mayonnaise.
That's what I mean. We do a wrap sandwich like that with on a pita. We use the eggplant and then some cheese, lettuce, tomato, cucumber, and onion, and make a wrapped veggie sandwich, which is really good. You can make little patties. You know how you do a grilled sandwich, like in the sandwich maker?
Yeah.
The thing was best breakfast thing is leftover bharta, and you take two pieces of bread, you put butter on each side, put that in. It's awesome. You can even add some cheese. It's so good.
Nice.
Really yummy. All of these dishes you can make little melted sandwiches with, like pressed sandwiches, which is
a potato and cauliflower pressed sandwich.
That's what people do.
That sounds awesome.
With leftover for breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, add some cheese to it.
That does sound good.
It's really good.
Look, now, question. Maybe I've missed it this whole time. I have not seen black pepper.
Only used in cold salads and stuff, usually.
Why so?
Not for cooking. You'll use it in marinades and things of that nature, but usually with cooking, you want the color.
Okay.
Of the red, and you want the heat from the cayenne. The black pepper is going to give you a different kind of heat. We do use whole peppercorns when we make goat meat or things like that in the beginning. Again, whole spices going in the beginning. That'll give you a pop of heat. But black pepper is traditionally, we're going to use it in the next recipe, which is the cucumber yogurt raita. And I can just start that if you want.
Yeah, let's. Before we get into that, while you're setting up for that, because probably as much in this cooking, Asian cooking also, getting the mise en place all ready to go is critical because so many things happen so quickly. And you want to make sure that it all happens in sequence the right way.
Yep.
Where some things aren't necessarily as important. You can go over and, you know, microwave your rice if you want to. You can do all the other things. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about, Papa, tell us about your, you have promised us that every time you're on the show, you're going to have a gadget or a spice that you're going to bring. And today, you thought you were going to outspice the spice queen, and she looked and goes, oh, you got blah, 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 blah.
Yes, and she pronounces it correctly.
Acephatida. It cures diseases, actually.
Yes, it is. It has health benefits. But it is kind of a souring agent. It is a yellow color, and tell me more about it.
It's a resin. It grows like a rock type formation of some sort, and then it's very, very pungent, and they use it in India for if you have a stomach upset, asafoetida helps you with a stomach clean, like if you have a stomach virus, or they give babies that, or they give fennel, so that each of these spices have some sort of
medicinal purpose
and that's where they came about. And with asafoetida, it comes in like a rock form, but then if you get it on your hands, it's very, very powerful smelling. So now they grind it and sell it as a powder, because if you start doing it, it's never going to come off your fingers. And I mean,
like garlic.
But way more intense.
Really?
Yes.
And we use it a lot in lentils. And so a lot of times people use it, it's called hing.
Hing. Right.
A lot of people who, again, the Jan, I was telling you, people who don't eat garlic or ginger, and this gives you a flavor of onions when you cook with it.
Right.
But you use it the same way as whole spices. You put the oil down. You use hing powder. Release it in the oil. Flavors the oil. And that gives you a flavor of onion and garlic without using onion and garlic. And it's good for your body.
Terrific.
As always, Papa, on top of your game. But now, if you were to... Your dad, we got to talk about... Your dad, Executive Chef Surrender, brought in a little dessert that he made that he's for a catering event for a wedding.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about that dessert. It was absolutely spot on.
It's called Gajar Halwa. Gajar means carrot. Halwa means cooked down sweet thing, you know. So basically, it's shredded carrots. They cook it down with some clarified butter, which is ghee. And they cook it down. And once it's cooked down, they'll add some sort of dairy to it. I can't remember if it's powdered milk or if it's half and half or whatever. They cook it down with milk. And it just keeps cooking. Then they add cardamom powder. They add saffron, pistachios. Then they add raisins and almonds. And it completely just it becomes a dry, like, soft, kind of like a fudge in a bowl.
It really is. Served warm, even as it's cooling down, it's delicious.
It's almost like a thick.
It's like a fudge,
chunky,
but in chunk.
Pudding. It's phenomenal.
But it's not wet like pudding.
Right, right.
And they do make a wet pudding with this carrot thing, where they add more milk, and it's kind of like a...
Great base for a cupcake.
Cupcake, exactly. Oh.
And you know, with the nuts in it, it has a little bit of crunch, so it has a sweet, it has a crunch, it has the carrots, it has the wonderful, subtle flavors, nothing overpowering. Oh, my friends. Funny, that sounds like almost all the food here at Bojonic, because they absolutely stick to the traditional cupboard cooking of Punjab, India. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about celebrating the good life. Chef and a Fat Man taking it to the streets of Punjab. Heck, we haven't even left Decatur. More good food coming up.
Welcome back. Sorry, my mouth's full. Kevin's up at the bar. Go figure. And
is it gold figure or go figure?
Go figure.
Go figure.
You know, if you're just joining us, I can't tell you what you missed. Mike?
I'm telling you what, that eggplant dish is really looking great. The potatoes and cauliflower is looking good. Kind of missed that chicken curry. It's coming back.
We're going to taste it in a minute. Okay. They're making some fresh tandoori naan for us.
Let's talk real quick, and then we'll get the last recipe of the cucumber raita.
Raita.
See, I had to follow along.
Raita. So cucumber raita. So basically, a traditional North Indian meal consists of maybe one or two vegetables. Mm-hmm. Like we have cauliflower, potato, eggplant, usually one lentil. Could be yellow or green or whatever. And then there's always bread, maybe rice, not always.
Okay.
But always some sort of yogurt, cucumber, some sort of yogurt base. It cools off anything that's too spicy. It's just an accent.
Served last.
Yep, served with the plate. It's all on the same plate.
Okay.
And then you've got, and so that's there to cool off anything that's too hot and to kind of fix your palate when you're ready to try something new. And then there's always something spicy or tangy that goes as a pickle or chutney. And then the bread. So that's how you eat it. So in a little bit, we're going to get some bread, our chicken curry back. We're going to eat the yogurt and everything we cooked. And I am going to have that extra, extra spicy pickle that I made last week for the market. And we're going to let this guy try it and see what he thinks.
See if we can light up Papa.
Yeah. So the raita is very easy. All you do is take non-fat yogurt. You don't need Greek or anything fancy. Just non-fat yogurt. You can add a little bit of water or a little bit of milk, anything to smooth it out. You can use...
In your cooking, no chicken stock?
No. We never use chicken stock.
Why?
Because I use chicken.
Coconut milk.
Just asking.
Just saying.
Okay. Just saying.
I don't know the whole concept of chicken stock. Okay. Oh.
Oh, look. Cute little girl. Where did you come from?
Where did you come from?
Are you homeless?
Chaya? She's momless.
Momless. Mom's working right now.
I'm going to be done in a minute, okay? You can stand next to me. So, raita is yogurt, and you whisk it together. And now let's talk about the spices. It's very important. We've got black pepper, fresh ground black pepper. Where are you coming in?
Let me guess. Coriander?
Nope.
Oh.
Let me tell you why not.
All right.
This is very, very good reason. When you are cooking, the concept of spices, we go back real quick to what we talked about. Whole spices in the beginning, ground spices are the main ingredient. You never serve spices raw. It's gross. And it doesn't have flavor. So this is a perfect balance. So here we're using spices, but black pepper is ground black pepper. It doesn't have to be a cooked spice because we eat it raw. Mm-hmm. Salt. Black salt, which is it's a salt that's grown in the foothills of the Himalayas. And it's almost like a pinkish color. And it's and when you cook with it, it becomes gray. It's almost sulfuric. It smells like rotten eggs almost. But when you put it, I know. But when you use it in salads and dressings, it's awesome because it's like a tart salt. It's like a sweet, not sweet, it's a sour salt. Oh, here's Alton Brown.
My super taster that cooks with me, who's 6 years old, who's our niece, wades into my pantry and says, oh, I give her tasting spoons. And I said, what do you want to taste? And when I gave her a spoonful of that Himalayan salt, she said, oh, Uncle Michael, what is this? This is eggs.
This is what it looks like. It's like a pinkish. But watch, when I put it in here, it's going to almost look gray in a minute.
Now, the question.
Who invented that? Who discovered it? No.
Yeah, it's kind of like the first guy who ate an oyster.
Yeah.
Or who licked a frog.
You smell it?
But the question is it turning gray from the acidity?
No, it's just the natural format is like that color, and it's got a pink flavor. A pink finish, but
it's
see,
very fine.
When it gets
it's very fine,
this is a deviled egg.
See,
that's exactly,
exactly
what I get.
But wait till I.
So what's going in now?
Roasted cumin.
Oh man, I just got
ground roasted cumin ground, and then regular salt a little bit because the other salt is not as salty. It's just more for tang, and then black pepper, which is ground black pepper. And that's it. That's all that goes in it. And then you finish it with anything you want. You can put crushed pineapple. You can put cucumber, tomato, cilantro, what we do here. You can do mint and potato. You can do dill with cucumber. I mean, there's...
So it could be sweet kind of or savory?
Sweet, yeah, but the yogurt's always savory. What you put in it could be. Like South Indians also make like a fruit raita. So it's a mixed fruit raita. It's a little different.
Our friend makes a fruit raita. In fact, two kinds.
So they must be South Indian.
I think she is ambidextrous. I think she cooks all of the Indian culture.
Buy Indian. Buy Indian. You know, South.
You're going to buy Indian. Buy it from the market.
I'm hinge you by injection. We don't need to go there.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
That's all right. That was just for the people here.
Yes. So now these spices that we're talking, do you have the
salt? See, these are all cooked.
Right, but do you have the salt at the market?
Yes, we have black salt. All these spices are there. But that's why we put in roasted ground cumin because we're not cooking this dish.
Right. So this is ready now.
It's ready, but I'm going to add now cucumbers diced.
Serious cumin. And that cumin is so, like
you were
saying.
But it's roasted.
Well, roasting brings out a ton of flavor, too, but it's much deeper flavor than what you would get at the store.
Yeah, because we just roasted and ground it like this morning.
Now, is cucumber a popular...
Oh, yeah.
Very popular in northern India?
Very popular. Cucumber, tomatoes, the fresh ingredients are cauliflower, okra, eggplant.
Cilantro.
A taro root, cilantro, mint. Those are the things used the most. And... then you've got mostly in North India, we don't do a lot of sweet and savory together. That's different. That's more West Indian. We usually, if we're making savory, it's savory. Or if it's sweet, it's not a mix usually.
Now, quickly, I wanted to touch on something that most people, if they do know Indian food, not sophisticated as they would be having listened to this show, but let's talk tandoori real quickly. What is tandoori? Is that a style? Is that a flavor? What is it?
It is basically the tandoor is an oven that was started again in Persia, Afghanistan, somewhere in that region. And basically it's a big drum with clay. And they put bread in it. So they'll use the walls of the... Traditionally it's made with charcoal. Traditionally it's charcoal. But nowadays, because of the health inspector, most restaurants have gas. But... originally, it was charcoal on the bottom of there. They put the bread on the side of the clay, like a flat bread. It sticks to it, and they use a tong, like a big tong, to take it off. And that's what we do here. And then tandoori chicken or meat or any of that is marinated meats like you would put in a smoker and the big egg.
Yes, the big green egg.
It's the same concept, but you're putting it on a skewer inside the tandoor oven, which is really high heat. It's kind of like broiling on a high heat.
But in a clay type oven.
But the charcoal is traditionally going to give you the flavor.
Right.
So that's tandoori.
Now, it always looks red. Why is it always red?
It's usually just the chicken that's red, and they do it. I think what I read about it is when they first invented that dish, it was for a king. Like, they wanted to have really beautiful food, mm-hmm. and everything had a similar color, so they wanted to brighten it up, and they put food color within the marinade to really brighten up the chicken. It's been there ever since.
Well, no one knows it like Chef Archna Becker. Well, Malhati, which is the shortened version of what her real maiden name is. We'd like to thank her father, Executive Chef Surrender, Bojanic Restaurant and staff for providing an absolutely incredible surrounding, Chef Red. You know, Chef Archer, we've got to do this again.
Let's do it.
I mean, this has been a great lesson.